When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome in. A very happy Wednesday to you now. April the 23rd, if you can believe it. I'm Joe Ranieri, and we are getting ready for more playoff action here tonight. NBA, of course, three games on tap here tonight. Game twos between the Orlando Magic and the Boston Celtics. That'll be coming up top of the hour. And then the bottom of next hour, the Miami Heat will try to even things up with the Cleveland Cavaliers. That'll be a 7:30 tip. And then the late game tonight is also going to be a team looking to even things up. And that will be the Houston Rockets getting ready to take on the Golden State Warriors. So if that wasn't enough urgency for you, well, then take it over to the NHL here as the Stanley Cup playoffs are in full effect. And we've got some teams looking to bounce back in a big way tonight, including the Montreal Canadiens, who are in the playoffs for the first time in, what, 1,000 years, I believe. And they are certainly getting ready to tie things up with the Capitals. They were oh so close in game one, overtime loss to Ovechkin and company, put a damper on things for Montreal. But can they and will they bounce back here tonight and tie this series up before they head home to what is no doubt going to be a wild crowd in Montreal as the Stanley Cup playoffs return there? And then, of course, you've got Dallas, who miraculously ended up getting it done against Colorado to tie things up there. Well, now they're going to head to Colorado here for all-important Game 3. That series knotted up at one apiece. And then you got Edmonton taking on the LA Kings. LA Kings, again, one of the best home records that we have seen in a very, very long time in the NHL. I think they've only lost 4 or 5 home games all year long. They got it done, albeit it was by the hair on their chinny chin chin in Game 1 as Edmonton almost was able to steal one there, but they ended up losing. They'll try again before they head back to Edmonton there. So the Kings and Darcy Kuemper getting it done. Will they do it again here tonight? And then, of course, we did have a bunch of getaway Major League Baseball games earlier today. And an interesting trend that we'll share with you here has been emerging, at least from what we have seen in years past. And that trend is, boy, oh boy, don't look now, but the away teams to this point in the schedule in Major League Baseball not doing a great job. Road teams just last night went 5-10. They are now 5-18 over the last two nights of Major League Baseball. And I think we just saw it earlier today. I think of the 5 getaway early games that we saw, well, it's, I think, only the Yankees were being one who were on the verge of being swept. So thanks, Yankees, for getting one there against the Guardians. But the Yankees And I believe the only other team that I saw that was an away team was the Cincinnati Reds, but that doesn't count because they took on the Miami Marlins. Outside of that, the Mets won in extra innings, home team. We saw the Detroit Tigers handle business at home with Olsen on a mound. They blanked the Padres at home. Atlanta, home team today, another victory. So certainly worth keeping an eye on here as we move to the slate tonight. And we've got, well, I mean, listen, maybe the good news for the Baltimore Orioles is that they are home tonight. The bad news is, well, they're not very good. In fact, this team is awful, but yet they continue to be priced as if this was the Orioles of a year ago. Decimated is that starting rotation for the Orioles, and it has not been good. They got shut out again last night, and in fact, over the last two games, not only has the pitching been a problem for Baltimore, they can't score runs. They have been outscored 31-2 in their last couple of games here. My goodness, not good at all there. Sugano going for the Orioles here tonight. Now, he has pitched better than, well, anybody else in that Orioles rotation because it has not been good. But again, injuries have absolutely decimated that starting rotation. And the bullpen hasn't been all that good either. But 9-13 is what we are looking at right now for the Orioles. They have a starting rotation with an ERA near six. And they, for some reason, appear to be, well, a favorite here tonight against the Washington Nats, who are being pesky, to say the least. So the good news is for Baltimore is that, well, you're going to be, well, hopefully you're going to have a chance to win this game and fly in the face of this streak. But right now, keep an eye on some of these away games and these lesser teams on the road, because it has not been a good stretch at all for them. And that Baltimore game is going to be first up here. And they are, unfortunately, a road team, but we'll see if they can go ahead and break that streak. You also have coming up Seattle and Boston. And Boston welcomed Seattle in yesterday by a big, I believe, seventh inning where they dropped four runs in and ran away with that game against the Mariners. And wouldn't you know it, well, they get Emerson Hancock on a mound for Seattle here tonight. Not great, to say the least, but the bats are finally starting to warm up for the Boston Red Sox, and they are a small favorite here at Fenway with Newcomb going. The good news for the Red Sox is they didn't have to use any of their high leverage guys last night because that game was pretty much over after the seventh inning. Then, of course, you're going to have to start dealing with the Dodgers and the Cubs. What a wild one that was last night. Looks like it's shaping up to be another wild one here tonight at Wrigley Field. You're seeing the total creeping up to nine. Now, that either means people have completely given up what the wind is doing at Wrigley. It really doesn't matter because we're scoring runs in bunches there. And nobody's expecting the pitching to hold up. Boyd going right now for the Chicago Cubs here tonight. Casper is going for the Dodgers. So they'll have a bullpen game lined up there, but pretty much nothing but Chicago Cub money coming in so far here today, looking to handle business once again after last night's win. Can they get two in a row against the Dodgers? And then some of the late night games also proving to be interesting. One of them being the Milwaukee Brewers taking on the Giants. That'll be your 9:45 Eastern game there. And of course, anytime you got Logan Webb at home in the Bay Area, that's usually a good thing. One of the better home pitchers. He loves pitching in that park. And you can tell because the total is 6.5 in that game. So if you were hoping for a late night slugfest, that might not be the game that you're going to want to tune into, as Freddy Peralta, who's been good and solid for Milwaukee, is also gone through a bevy of injuries with the starting rotation there. But 6.5 is the total in that late night game. If you're looking for runs, who are we kidding? The late night game for you is going to be the Texas Rangers taking on the Athletics. It was Happy Patrick Corbin Day yesterday. Hope you faded him. But more importantly, hope you took the over in every way possible yesterday. First five full game, because that was a winning ticket as the total once again sitting right around 9.5. Will it get to 10? I can certainly think and see, even with Sears on the mound going up against Kumar Rocker, I can see runs coming in this one in Sacramento tonight. So maybe an over is in play in that one. But we got much more coming up when it comes to the playoffs, and the NBA playoffs are on the top of our mind. We'll talk about it, break some of these games down for you as Game Time Decisions continues on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
All right, welcome back in. Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri, and we welcome in our good friend Mark Zeno here as we're getting ready for the playoffs. That's right, the NBA, the association, in full focus here. A lot of game twos here tonight. Orlando, Boston, Miami, Cleveland, and of course, the Golden State Houston one should be interesting. A lot of zigzagging happening here, except for a couple of games here, Zin. It's always been a great approach to the NBA playoffs, especially when the home team ends up losing game one. But we saw the Lakers bounce back last night. We saw the Clippers, who were an away team in Denver, bounce back in game two. Are we getting any zigzagging tonight with these games here? Some big spreads, too, with the first couple.
Yeah, I don't know how much zigzagging you'll get here. Miami is not competitive, and Orlando is not competitive with Boston. Maybe you get some zigzagging with Houston. That line keeps to be going in favor of Houston, which is surprising me more and more at this point in time. And I think that some of the public zigzagging with this whole thing, continuing to put money on Houston, which kind of makes it appetizing to grab Golden State at a bigger number here. But yeah, I just don't think that. I mean, what's the reason not to lay it with Cleveland? I mean, honestly, there's not a, you know, I looked at Miami's team total under again. Is Miami going to get to 100? I doubt it. I genuinely doubt it. So, you know, you're not asking Cleveland to have to do all that much. And Cleveland, much like Oklahoma City, will still have Donovan Mitchell on the floor with 2 minutes left, chucking up threes and hitting them. I mean, you know, like they're just in that mode. So I don't know that we're going to get that much zigzagging. The game I focused on tonight was Golden State and the Houston Rockets here and the total. Joe, we had a total of 214.5 in game one. This thing was at 203.5 this morning when I bet it. you can't drop 11 points from game one to game two. You just can't. It's way too big of a swing. I get it. They both sit under 100. I get it. It's not going to happen again. One of these teams is getting to 100 when they win this game. And if it's the Rockets, chances are this thing has a much better chance at going over, because there's a world where Golden State could just, you know, shoot the lights out again. And the Rockets had a really bad shooting game in game one. You would hope for some regression to the mean there. So, you know, I mean, there's an easy, you know, 105-95 final here that still gets us home. right? Like, it doesn't have to be. This is such a low number for two teams that are good defensively, but this is not like, you know, stalwart defensive teams here. I think just the pace when Golden State got up by 24 in the third quarter, it was dribble, kill clock time, right? They were just biding time. The pace just died once that happened. Even though Houston got back with it, you know, got a close late, it just, the pace got dead at that point.
The thing that worries me, and I think this would be the time, Mark, because we're talking unders are 10-3 to date right now in the NBA playoffs. Am I losing my mind, or are these games being officiated way different than what we got during the regular season? Because, I mean, guys are out there mauling one another. It looks like a throwback to the Knicks teams of the 90s, where they're just out there hacking every, and they're not blowing the whistle here. And that's the only thing that scares me with trying to go with overs. And you know it's going to bottom out at some point. And this is probably the one game where, what does it drop? 10 points from the first game? I mean, but my goodness, are they letting them play or what?
I mean, look, it feels like Charles Oakley has been resurrected, right? And just hacking the hell out of him, knocking him on the backside, which is cool to watch. And you know, speaking of the Knicks, you know, that was one of the things Thibodeau had to complain about in game two, was the disparity in free throws between Detroit and New York. Well, yep, that's not the reason you lost the game. That's neither here nor there. But I get what you're saying. I don't know if that's going to normalize or not. And the fact that they're letting these guys play, we'll see which teams try to take advantage of it and what the limit is, where they draw the line. But, you know, again, I just, for a Rockets team that shot 41% from the field and 24% from three, that's got to come back, you know, come back up. Yep. It got to have some sort of regression to the mean and the numbers that they normally shoot at. Again, only one team really needs to get over 100 here for this thing to be pushing going over a total that is insanely low. I mean, the Boston Orlando total, 196. Okay. I'm sorry, yeah. It is 2003 again. Okay, got it. Noted. All right. But
that's what I'm saying. I mean, the Boston didn't even get 50 points in the first half in that first game. And now they don't have Tatum. Now they're going to be bent. But are they going to be stopping the whistle? I don't know.
Did you see the number for who is it? Was it Memphis in their team total game two? Like, it's such an insanely low number. Like, I mean, it's just these totals, the team totals and totals out there are kind of crazy right now.
It's absolutely bonkers. But the one total that's not going to be enough, I can tell you, is Jaylen Brown points with no Tatum. I fully anticipate him to be the one that is going to go to town tonight with the Boston Celtics. But again, 196, you know, we're talking, what did it open up with? 12 and a half points? And you're not going to score 200? You know how hard that is to cover in this NBA? Or maybe it's not.
For Boston to cover it and it to stay under, Orlando can't get to 90, so to speak.
90.
Right? They have to stay in the mid-80s.
Yep. And what makes us think that's going to happen? You like the over in Golden State, Houston. I think because the Miami-Cleveland game went over easily, that this game is probably better to look under, because defense, I think, from both. Don't forget, Miami had what? Back-to-back, they had two games in like 3 days to get there, and then they had to play. I think a lot more defense here tonight in both of those. I think maybe that game is artificially high because of the over. But maybe the zigzag theory in effect here, not just in the games and sides and but the totals as well. And how many foul shots are these refs going to give these teams here tonight? But Golden State, definitely an over here tonight for Zeno. And I'm starting to see it too. And I'm seeing 205s popping up in the marketplace right now. So you are not alone in thinking that at all. We got some Major League Baseball games coming up, Zen. I want to get your thoughts on a couple of those here, as we had a lot of getaway games. And how bad are the Baltimore Orioles? My goodness. We'll talk about it next. Game Time Decisions continues on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in. Game Time Decisions here on this Wednesday. We welcome back in Mark Zeno here, taking a look at this Major League Baseball slate tonight. We were just talking, I mean, how bad are these Orioles? I mean, they got, again, the last two games, they've been outscored 31-2. That's not a recipe for success. Taking on Trevor Williams there and Washington tonight. Is this the night that the Orioles turn it around and the bats get going?
I think it's a great buy low spot on Baltimore. I played the Nationals first five last night because the Orioles absolutely stink at hitting left-handed pitching. And so the Nationals got a good start from, why is it slip my, wasn't Mackenzie Gore. It was the other lefty. I forget who it was who got a start. Yes, thank you. Mitchell Parker threw a freaking one hitter. It was impressive to watch, to say the least. So, you know, the Orioles bats are really, really cold. Do I mind fading Trevor Williams here? No, he's got an ERA near six, a whip of 1.6. You know, he's given up a home run in each of his last three outings. He can't keep guys off the base paths. So, yeah, if they don't break out now, I mean, it's, you know, alarm bells are starting to go off in Baltimore. So it's not good. They need a win. Feels like a good buy low spot here. The Orioles have their pretty much most reliable starter at this point on the mound in Sagano, with a 3.4 ERA, a 1.29 whip. And, you know, again, a guy who for the most part has done a decent job of keeping his team in the game here. But I just think the Orioles bats can get to a Nationals bullpen that, while it's improved, still is not one of the better ones. In fact, their team ERA in the bullpen is over a run and a half higher than the next worst bullpen. So they have an ERA over seven. So they got to get into the Nationals bullpen to make them work here. And they do that, the Orioles should be good.
I agree there. The Orioles should be able to get to that bullpen, but you're right. They got to get the lefty off the mound first. How about the Astros seem to have figured some things out here tonight. They're taking on the Blue Jays again. It's been a nice little streak for them. Do we trust them to get another one here against the Jays?
This is another, like, weak-hitting team to start the year. Remember, the Astros did this last year, except they were below 500 in doing it. They had a really slow start offensively and ended up going out and winning the division, right? So, a lot of season left. But another buy-low spot here on Toronto, who's lost four in a row, who has only scored a total of 8 runs in the last 4 games. They have been knocked down in the last 2 games against Houston. They've been outscored 12-1. So, you hope this lineup can break out. This is a good-hitting Toronto lineup, although Santander is really struggling right now in a Blue Jays uniform. He's batting my weight, essentially, which is way below the Mendoza line. So they need him to snap out here. Gusto has been okay, you know, but he feels a little bit lucky to a certain extent when you look at some of his starts. Bowden Francis goes for Toronto, one of their more reliable starters here. But again, you know, the fact that Gusto is starting, they're doing a bullpen game. So you don't know what you're going to get from the rest of the Astros bullpen for the rest of this game. Hopefully the Blue Jays bats can take advantage.
Yeah, it's that game's going to be it. They need to wake up because it has not been good at all there. And a lot of guys seem to love Pittsburgh tonight over the Angels. Pittsburgh, I can't believe they scored. Have they scored 11 runs in the last month? Because that was interesting last night. They got Heaney on the mound tonight. Do we trust Pittsburgh to go back to back?
I mean, I don't like a world where I see a team like the Angels laying anything because I don't trust them.
That's a good
the
point.
Angels have the fifth highest K rate against lefties, and the Pirates are starting left-hander Andrew Heaney. And you know they're not great at hitting left-handed pitching. They're not terrible at it, but you know again, this is an Angels team that feels like if they get behind, you know they're not meant to come back because, again, they hit a lot of home runs, but they tend to be all solo home runs because they never have anybody on base. So it's a hard way to get back in a game hitting solo shots.
Yeah. Do you like the an over with this Dodgers-Cubs game? It's up to 9, and I don't trust either set of pitchers. These lineups are just – they're crazy with these two teams.
Yeah, they mash the hell out of the baseball. I mean
– oh, my goodness.
Again, it's like – if you have everybody healthy, and the Dodgers do, they got Johnny Betts, Hernandez, Freeman, you know, all in the lineup.
Give me the over.
Against these bullpens, I would go against the over. I'd go to the over.
21 runs last night, 78 degrees at Wrigley here tonight. So it's even warming up a little bit. Yeah, I'll take the over. And I'll take the over with Oakland and Texas, too, because prove me wrong that that ballpark in Coors West there. Zeno, enjoy the games. Let's get that over in Golden State as Game Time Decisions continues on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on this Wednesday. It's the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri. Appreciate you stopping by as we're getting ready, of course, for the playoffs. That's right. NBA tonight, back at it. Game twos in Boston, in Cleveland, and in Houston. But let's not forget, it's already been a wild and crazy start to the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. And we got another couple of interesting games coming up here tonight with teams trying to zigzag their way into a win. And we welcome in our good friend George Kurtz in Game Time Decisions here to try to make heads or tails. By the way, George, did you happen to see that Panther Lightning game last night? Just asking, because I didn't hear anybody on the Panthers last night. It was it's going to be a clean sweep for Tampa, but they didn't bet that past five games. That's for sure. But tonight, listen, overtime loss to Washington. I thought they played great, Montreal. They're not going to be an easy walkthrough here for this Capitals team here. Can they tie it up before, let's face it, when they get home with Montreal, that's going to be one wild scene there when they have playoff hockey there again.
Yeah, you're right. Game three in Montreal will be wild. But hey, got to get through game two first here. It would have been nice if they could have stolen game one, right? And they came real close, scored a couple of late goals here, got it to overtime there. I thought they had a shot in game one, mainly because Washington, I mean, Joe, what's it been? A month since they had something to play for? So that they, you know, they coasted at the end here. Montreal had to play, win all these games to get in the playoffs so they could steal game one. Didn't quite happen there. I do wonder if game one is the worst game Washington will play. So that is a worry for me here. That being said, I still think Montreal has a chance to upset even in the series here, but you got to win tonight, right? Really, it's really important for them to win tonight here. So I think they got a shot here. Still, I didn't bet this game, but if I was going to bet this game, it would be the Washington Capitals. I did take the over, however, though. I think we'll get some goals tonight.
I don't hate that at all here. I think it's been an interesting series there with Colorado and Dallas there. What a game two that was. Backs up against the wall here. So they had to come from behind to win that game 4-3 in overtime. Well, now we're knotted up at one apiece, right? So here we go in Colorado tonight. Is that a good thing or a bad thing for Dallas? Because you're always going to get them at a really great price here because of the injuries.
Yeah, right. Speaking of the injuries, he's going to be thought he might come back tonight. He's so important for the Dallas Stars, but he's not playing. All right. He seems to be getting closer. All right. But he's not there. Robertson is not going to play game three or game four. He did not travel with the team. Heiskanen did travel. So chance for game four that he plays here. Listen, we all know what they say in these seven game playoff series, right? The series doesn't start till the home game, to the home team loses their first game, right? And Dallas lost the first game at home. They won game two, a must win, because you're not going to lose your first two games at home and then win the series. Going to Colorado can be tough. You're playing in the high air, the altitude and all that here. It's hard not to like the Avalanche tonight, but I'm not laying that price. All right, so instead I went with MacKinnon anytime goal tonight. He's been hot as Hades there. The power play goals seem to be happening over and over again here, and I'm going to go with the over. Yeah, I think once again, we're going to get goals tonight. We have the first two games. I don't see why tonight would be any different.
Yeah, well, they're going to need their goaltender here, Dallas, to do a better job than what he's been doing here at this point. So, and Rantanen coming off the other bench should be interesting for Colorado too, as well, as he's on Dallas now. But pretty big game three coming up tonight with Colorado and Dallas, and of course, what a wild one that first one. LA just, no matter what, they win games at home. That's what they do. And Edmonton thought they were going to get him, but they came up short. What happens here tonight in game two?
That was wild, right? They scored with three goals. They tied that game up. You know, if you turned it up, you went to sleep. You went, oh, they won 6-5. Everton scored a couple of late goals. Who cares? No, Edmonton tied that game up. And then, of course, forgot to play defense there. 11 goals in this contest. I don't think we're going to get 11 tonight, but it's the Oilers. When you're playing the Oilers, I take the over. It's automatic. Or I just take the over here. So give me the over here. I think there's a lot of anytime goal scorers you can play in this game as well. Drysdale's almost a must. The guy scores every game here. McDavid, it was fantastic last game. I mean, you go with Hyman, who had a goal here. The Kings are a little bit more tricky because they are a more well-rounded team. They actually go three lines here. You want Fiala, Kempe, Kopitar, Byfield, any of these guys here. I do like the Kings to win the game. I have them in the series, but I have the series going 7. So for that to happen, I probably need the Oilers to win tonight. That being said, I wonder if they're a little deflated. I say, you come back from a 5-2 deficit under 3 minutes left, and you tie it, and then you lose immediately thereafter. Can be a little deflating here. So I do worry about that. But my favorite play of the night is definitely the over here. Like I said, 5.5 Oilers, it's automatic. I'm going over unless it's minus 165, something silly like that.
Yeah, it's funny. We've gotten a lot of overs so far here in the first couple of games here in round one. And, we saw a 5, I think, the opening night, a lot of 5.5s. Now we're starting to see the 6.5s, Dallas and Colorado here. Do you expect it to less scoring to eventually start to be the topic of conversation? Because right now, even Florida, I mean, you had Bobrovsky and Vasilevsky in goal, and nobody was expecting that many goals last night, and voila, 8 goals. But that's been a theme through the entire first round so far.
Yeah, I think go one of two directions here. Remember, we have 16 teams, all right, in the playoffs. Not all these teams are great teams here. So you can score easier on goals against them. Also, the refs are calling more. I mentioned power play goals are happening. A lot of power play goals. I do wonder, as we move on deeper in series and deeper into the playoffs, the refs go, okay, we're going to let the boys play. We don't want to be as big a part of it here. I think right now they just want to make sure they get control of the series here. Hey, we're going to call this, we're going to call that. But I do think as we move on, we will see less power plays, therefore less goals. However, I don't think it's happening tonight. We're only in game 2s tonight, except for Dallas and Colorado. So I think they still will call the penalties here. But once you get the games 5, 6, 7, deciding games, clinching games, then I think we'll see less power plays.
All right, so speaking of overs here tonight, Kurtz, I believe we have a Dodger-Cub game that scored 21 points last night. There is no way we're not – it's 75 degrees at Wrigley tonight. Are we not getting another over?
Yeah, plus we don't have the greatest pitching matchup here either. All right, so it's another reason why I'm going the over also here. Listen, Cubs and Dodgers can both hit. The Dodgers haven't really hit their stride yet, literally hit their stride. They're still not hitting a ton. Otani really hasn't done much since coming back from having a baby. Congratulations. But we're still waiting for him really to be Otani. Mookie Betts has been quiet. You know, well, he was great after he immediately came back from the food poisoning, whatever he had there, but he's been dead for the last couple of weeks. Maybe he'll wake up tonight. Muncy's been invisible since game 1. You know, so we're still waiting for really the Dodgers to hit their stride here as far as scoring runs is concerned here. That being said, I don't need them to score a lot. You know, I think the team gets double digits even without even team looking great on offense here. So yeah, I'm on the over Dodgers Cubs.
Yeah, I'm with you. And anything under double digits in Athletics home games, I'm going over, Kurtz. Why would we look towards an under, especially with these two pitchers tonight?
Yeah, that's what as you said, it's like playing in Colorado. You're automatically thinking over. You need to convince me not to go over. And these two pitchers ain't doing it. All right. So no, I'm going on. I think last night might have been the first game where I watched the whole – it was on the MLB Network, so I watched the whole game. The ball jumps out of that ballpark. I'm not saying they weren't home runs anyway, but the ball jumps out of that ballpark. It's like it wants to be home runs here. If you're not making it double digits and we don't have a Scooble on the mound, I'm going over.
Yeah, no Scooble tonight, but the Pirates and Angels, you do like an under in that one tonight, right?
Well, once again, you know, we're talking about two offenses that aren't great. You're playing out west in the thick, cool air there. It's not warm yet in L.A., and even when it is, the ball doesn't travel very well there. So, yeah, I'm taking an under here. I do like the pitching matchup there. I think they'll be able to – it's not teams, but I think they'll be able to keep it under control.
George Kurtz, always a pleasure, my man. Game Time Decisions continues next on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on this Wednesday. I'm Joe Ranieri. Appreciate you stopping by. And not only are we dealing with both the NBA and the NHL playoffs, of course, Major League Baseball. We had getaway games earlier today. We are just about first pitch here on the 6:40 Eastern time games. We'll keep you posted on those, but we are also inching just that much closer to the 2025 NFL draft. And of course, we have got you covered here on the Sports Grid Network all day tomorrow and tomorrow night here, as all eyes are going to be on whether or not, seems to be the big question, where does Shedeur Sanders go here? One of the more polarizing players in this year's class. And boy, oh boy, the last time I've seen, the favorite to draft him was the Pittsburgh Pirates. But at Cam Ward being the number one overall pick at minus 20,000 to 1 is, I would imagine, Cam Ward is probably a good bet that he will go first to Tennessee, unless, of course, somebody trades up or does that. And of course, you listen and believe only half of what you have been getting and what you are seeing just in the last 24 to 48 hours. Reports that the Giants could trade out of the three spot. The Browns are also considering it. Now, listen, it's not a great quarterback draft by any stretch of the imagination. I still think Cam Ward is a interception waiting to happen, and I don't know how that's going to change if he gets to be the number one overall pick. But now all of a sudden we're starting to get phone calls and teams, the leaks that the Browns and the Giants might be looking to swap picks, or might be looking to move down. Abdul Carter, of course, Travis Hunter is a big name being thrown around, as so is Ashton Jeanty as a possible top five pick. But we're also starting to see some good odds for Shedeur Sanders, and whether or not Pittsburgh being the favorite to pick him up at some point in the draft is an interesting narrative there. Because, okay, at some point, well, when are they getting him? Because right now, I believe the odds for him to be a top five pick, and just in a top five, I think is 5-1 here, if we're looking at that market. 5-1 for a quarterback, and we all know how the draft works, right? He is, obviously, I still think he's the best quarterback in there. I think he's got the biggest upside as a quarterback, but Cam Ward seems to be everyone's favorite that's going to go at the top of this draft. Well, all right, his playing partner there, Travis Hunter, also seems to be going somewhere in that top five here. But where does Shedeur go if he doesn't go top five? You can still get him at top 10, I believe, at plus 210. Right now, I believe, was the number we're looking at that. So you can still get him at plus money. Does anybody believe that Shedeur is not going to go or at least be a top 10 pick in what is, again, a very quarterback needy draft? It makes sense that the Pittsburgh Steelers would need a quarterback because, well, right now they really don't have one. They got a lot of quarterbacks, but none of them are a quarterback. That's the problem with the Steelers right now. So it makes sense. But man, him falling out of the top 10 is going to be interesting. And to me, I think a lot has to do with what do the Giants do? Are the Giants going to go and get him? Are they going to move down? The Browns? Well, there is a lot of question marks, I think, in this draft. But with the odds we're getting with the number one overall pick, it appears Cameron Ward is the shoe-in for that to happen. Now, again, Tennessee's been telling me how much they love him, and you know what happens every draft year when we hear about how teams and guys can't miss. You know what happens? Well, somebody gets traded out, somebody does something, and all of a sudden everything you thought was up is now down. This feels like one of those drafts where just when you think you have an idea of where a team is going to go without any clear-cut franchise quarterbacks that can come in and affect the team right away. This is going to be anybody's draft here. A lot of offensive linemen could be, and teams like the Giants or Cleveland, who need a lot of help, a ton of help, be willing to gain assets to trade out of those top couple of spots. I think it's going to be a very, very interesting draft tomorrow night. And again, I would not be shocked if there is shuffling up at the top of the board, but I'd be really shocked if Shedeur Sanders lands outside the top 10 there. So at plus 210 right now, I think that's a pretty, pretty good deal. But don't forget, say he was at one point, I believe, minus money to be in the top 10, and now we can get him at plus money. So there has been a lot swirling around Shedeur Sanders. But the bottom line is he is a quarterback. He's going to be a quarterback in the NFL, and teams need quarterbacks. So I'd be shocked and be willing to bet that he definitely goes in the top 10, whether that means somebody goes up and gets him or not. But I can't see him falling in the mid-teens by any stretch here. And Pittsburgh, if you want him, well, go get him here at plus 3-1 there. What is that? That doesn't seem like a bad situation for Pittsburgh either. But with his luck and my luck as a Jet fan, the Jets will go in and draft him for some unknown reason. They'll probably trade out of everything to go get him because the Jets will always jet. And that's what happens there. So get ready. We got NFL draft around the corner. That is always a fun time. It's a time of year where we can all hope that our teams will do the right thing. And ultimately, we all know they won't. That's how it works. But we'll have you covered all day tomorrow on the draft. In the meantime, we'll get you updated with the playoffs in the NBA next year on Game Time Decisions.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe and Aaron, of course, getting ready here in just a few minutes to start the slate of games in the association tonight. The playoffs are here, and so is, well, you're not going to believe this number. The Boston Celtics, who didn't look good early in that first half in that game one against the Orlando Magic, but put it together enough in the second half to be able to run away with that game. Well, it looks like the markets have reacted. I mean, if it's one thing about Orlando, we know defensively this is a tough, tough team to score on. The good news, though, for teams like Boston playing Orlando is that we all know it's tough for them to score. Outside of Paolo Banchero, he was like one of the only bright spots offensively for the Magic in that game one. I think he got 36 points, 27 shots. He was used just about every time. 37% was his usage rate in that game because he's it. So, and we know that the Boston Celtics at the same time, well, it's, we know they can shoot the three, can't they? So it always comes down with the Celtics that if they make enough threes and put enough distance between them and Orlando, everything will be fine. But look at the total, folks. It's 196 and a half. We're talking about a team that opened up as a 12-point favorite. It's now down to 10 and a half, and we're talking about a total that's sitting in the 196 and a half range. That is absolutely absurd. So my question is, how many points is Boston? No Jason Tatum tonight, and that is a big loss for them right now. We also know Boston thought they were very physical, Orlando. They're not happy with the fact that they lost Tatum for this game, and hopefully not many more, but My goodness. That is what we have seen in these first couple of games in the NBA. You can't tell me these games are being officiated like a regular season game in any way, shape, or form. And it's across the board, by the way. So I don't know whether or not this is kind of been a mandate from the league to come down that they said, you know, let them play. We don't want the refs involved in these games where, you know, teams are getting 40 free throws there because we're blowing the whistle every 2 minutes. My goodness, this is a throwback. Just watching the Knicks play against Detroit those first two games, you can't tell me that was like anything we have seen over the last couple of seasons here in the NBA. It has been absolutely fun to watch where teams who get to 100 first are likely going to win. And this is exactly what this game is set up for with a total of 196.5. And Orlando is a top five team from defending the perimeter. So threes are never going to be easy for the Boston Celtics here tonight. No Tatum to me. I think the prop market's going to be huge tonight. I think just go over anything with Paolo Banchero. I think his point prop was 25.5. I told you he had 36 on 27 shots in game one. Nothing is going to change offensively for Orlando. I think if you can get him under maybe 26.5, I would go over Paolo Banchero's point total here. And then, of course, I got to look to Jaylen Brown and his point prop up and over. So no Jason Tatum because of the wrist. He only had 17 points in game one. He did have 22 shot attempts, though. Brown only had 16 points in game one, mainly because he only took 14 shots. In seven games this year where Brown played and Tatum was not on the court, he averaged just about 23 points a game. I expect him to get a significant amount of those 22 shots that Tatum took in game one. I expect him to get those. I also expect him to be the catalyst for this Boston Celtics team. He averaged, by the way, 25 points at home this year for the Celtics. So I think Jaylen Brown is the guy you need to focus in on for the Celtics here tonight. He'll make up the difference for Tatum. But my goodness, can you imagine sweating out an under of 196.5. Another one I'll tell you too is the Celtics first half team total, 54.5. They didn't score 50 in the first game in the first half. Are they going to do that in this one? Oh boy, this is going to be fun. Get ready. The boxing gloves are off in Boston as the Magic and Celtics coming your way. And we have got you covered with the rest of the slate for another hour next here on Game Time Decisions.